Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders in 2020? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
And today we look at the Las Vegas Raiders, and we do so with a former Raiders offensive lineman, now a part of the broadcast team. That, of course, is Lincoln Kennedy. Lincoln, thanks for coming on with us. Hope the family is well. When you look at this Raiders team, it starts with Derek Carr. People wonder what he's going to do this year at the quarterback position. He said the other day he's tired of being disrespected. How do you evaluate and what do you expect Derek Carr to do for this upcoming season?
Well, like I would say to him if he was here in my face and he said that, I would tell him right now, if you're tired of being disrespected, play better. It's just simple. You know, the thing is that there's no more excuses for Derek. Now it's either put up or shut up. He's got all the weapons in front of him. He's got an offensive line. He's got a run game. He's got a receiving corps. There's really nothing else that he needs to that he shouldn't be able to do with this offense. So now it's time to put up or shut up.
How much is this right now mental? Because for a while he looked like he was going to be the franchise quarterback, then got hurt. Last year this was a football team that they were 6-4 and had an embarrassing performance up against the Jets. Is there something maybe wrong mentally with Derek Carr? Is just the talent not been there for him and he's not been able to elevate that roster?
Well, I think he's had that in his mind that the talent wasn't there for him. But when actuality it was, and actually it was, he just didn't use it as well as he could. Now, the thing about it is that John Gruden's offense gives every quarterback an option somewhere to go with the football. And John Gruden, because knew that Derek Carr, after he broke that ankle, was not the same person. And of course, the year after, he took a lot of sacks. Before John Gruden got there, he wanted to clean it up, and he wanted his quarterback to stand upright. So he empowered him with the ability to use shutdowns or throw the ball away, just preserve himself for next down. Well, you know, Derek kind of took that to heart in many ways, and he kind of used that to an advantage or a disadvantage for the team because they weren't able to get points out of it. But I think this year, again, like I said before, it's put up or shut up. You have no more excuses.
And the backup quarterback is now Marcus Mariota, the former number two overall pick in the draft and was a Heisman Trophy winner at Oregon. How long is the leash this year for Derek Carr? And if Mariota sees the field, what can we expect out of the former Oregon and Tennessee Titan quarterback?
Well, it's hard. You know, sometimes guys can be better at with a second chance. There was so much pressure on Marcus when he was at Tennessee because he was supposed to be that franchise quarterback to take him to the promised land. It didn't happen. And I just think sometimes a fresh start is good for people. So the answer to your question, how short is the leash? I don't think it's very short. I think this is still Derek Carr's team because Gruden knows that he's a quarterback who's capable of making all the throws on the football field. He just has to do better and make better decisions. And now that you've surrounded him with weapons, you know, there's really no reason why he can't excel. So, but the standard is set up against Kansas City. So they're the champs. They've got the all-pro quarterback and Super Bowl MVP. They're the standard that everybody's looking up. And then on top of that, you've got the Ravens. You've got some other talented teams around the AFC. But this is a stacked division against the Raiders. They're going to have their hands full.
Let's get to the next down. All right, when we get to second and goal now, you look at the rookie from last year at Alabama, Josh Jacobs, had a tremendous rookie season, over 1,100 rushing yards and 7 rushing touchdowns. What do you look for in your number two out of Josh Jacobs?
Improvement. Better way of protecting himself and getting himself back into it. Look, you know, he had a shoulder. midway through the season, and he kind of wanted to play through it, and the Raiders decided to protect him because they saw the investment in the future. But this is a young man who runs hard, and it might very well be that this year, these days, it's running back by committee because it seems the running back position is so devalued. But if that's the case, they got to have a good transitional back to be able to help them set him up. And so, but I do expect Josh to have a real good year this year.
Let's go to the next down. All right, Linky Kennedy, when we look at more youngsters on this team, Henry Ruggs, first-round draft pick out of Alabama, the speedster, and we also saw Damon Arnett was a surprise pick, the cornerback out of Ohio State. What are your expectations for those two first-round picks in year number one?
Well, when it comes to Ruggs, I expect to be able to stretch the field and possibly give Derek downfield targets to look at. He really hadn't had since Amari Cooper. It's time for Ruggs to really help this offense. And now you've got a receiver for every level. You've got Darren Waller, you've got Hunter Renfro, you've got other players involved as well as a running game. You really need to keep the defense on the heels, and hopefully they find a way to score a bunch of points. On the other side of Arnett, now I've always been a believer, if there's a guy on your board, no matter what other people evaluate as, if he's good for you, you already take him. And one of the things that cornerbacks coming out of Ohio State, especially over the last decade, including going back to Urban Meyer's days, played great bump and run coverage. And that's hard to teach, especially if they don't have it in college level, they're probably not going to develop on the pro level. So I do expect big things out of that secondary as well.
You know, it's kind of funny when you look at Mayock. For so many years, he was on the NFL Network, and he gave us the sleepers, guys that will go a little bit earlier than you expect. And last year, he did take Cleveland Farrell. This year, took Damon Arnett, and a lot of people said, wow, those were surprising picks. When you look at Farrell, how do you recap year one for him?
I think that he needs to play more within himself. And when I use that statement, it means this, is that there were times I think that Cleveland felt pressed to make the play and that he had to be the one who made the play. And there's times where it's just you have to be disruptive and you have to do your job. But with the offsides and the bonehead mental mistakes that he made last year, this year I expect a whole lot more growth and a lot of maturity because there's going to be a lot of emphasis and a lot of eyes going to be looking at him, especially after the year that Max Crosby had last year.
All right, let's get to the final down. All right, Lincoln Kennedy of the Las Vegas Raiders Radio Network, former offense alignment for the Raiders, too. It's now your number three for John Gruden. I know you alluded to this earlier. This is clearly the Chiefs' division. They're going to win the division, barring something crazy. When we look at the second-best team in this division, how do the Raiders stack up compared to the Broncos and the Los Angeles Chargers?
I think they're a step ahead of the Broncos, mainly because of the passing game and their ability to score in chunks. I expect the Broncos to be that type of team like they were a little bit last year, play strong defense and run the football. Well, that doesn't always translate in scoring a lot of points, but that defense has got to be on par. So I think the Raiders are a step in front of them. As far as the Chargers, until you see the quarterback position, you really don't know what you're going to have with the Chargers. They've got a good defense. There's no doubt about it. But in this game, you got to score. So I don't necessarily see them shutting down a lot of people, you know, with 6-0 scores or, 7-0 scores or 10-0 scores. But the Chargers' defense is going to be stout. But I still think the Raiders are two steps team-wise ahead of the Chargers.
So you're optimistic, it seems like, for the Raiders this upcoming season.
I am. I am optimistic. I think this is a year to break out for them. I don't expect them to win the division, but I do think this is a team that's capable of finishing 9-7, maybe 10-6, the way schedule plays out the way it should for them.
All right, I got an extra point for you now. You scored a touchdown previewing the Raiders for us. When I look at John Gruden this year, now in year number three, back with the Raiders, a very interesting tactic that I didn't love that he did take a few days ago, telling his team he had COVID to see how they would react to it and to illustrate a point that it could happen to anyone on any given day. If you were a player and your coach, they had COVID, and then you found out that he didn't have COVID and it was just to illustrate a bigger point, what would be going through your mind? Because for me, I think it would be, was that really necessary? I think that's a little bit of a crazy method.
It's exactly the way I'm feeling. With people that are dying and the way that this pandemic has affected this country, it's not something you toy with. I don't think it was necessarily a good idea to do that. There are other ways to prove a point. And at this time of matter, it's too sensitive for a number of people because you never know how many kids how many young men in that locker room might have been affected by COVID. So I wouldn't want to play with it.
Would you consider opting out for this season? How would you go through your thought process?
It depends on what my family situation was. If I had somebody where I was around somebody, possibly a young adult or something like that, my kids, the possibility of exposure, I would consider opting out. You mean if I'm single and all I have to do is really worry about myself, I'd play. I'd sign a disclaimer and I'd play. But it depends on the situation. I think everyone's different. And I wouldn't fault a man if he did choose to opt out, no matter what his reasons were.
Lincoln, appreciate it. You and your family, be safe. Thanks so much.
Same to you and yours. Thanks.
There's Lincoln Kennedy. Good breakdown of the Las Vegas Raiders.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.